have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on into the boardroom. Johnny here alongside Josh and Sam. And it's about 12:30 in the morning right now. We just drove back from Champaign, and we are riding an emotional high as Illinois has won the Big Ten title. We are 15-5, the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament, and the Big Ten champs. And it's just been an incredible day. How are we feeling, boys?
I want to give like a lot of like let's goes and like go get make the energy up for this podcast, and it should be because we are Big Ten champs. It's just what a day it was, and you know, I'm pretty exhausted, but it's just a mind-blowing day. I mean, you come into the day not knowing what you were going to expect tonight. You're thinking, what did we say in the car ride? I gave it an outlandish number of what, like 25%?
Yeah, you said 25% chance, and then we saw that McGowan's was out, and you're like, okay, now it's down to a 3% chance. And
yeah,
you're like, okay.
Yeah, but, well, it turned into 100%, and we're here, and the champ is here.
The champ is here.
So let's kind of do like a recap of our decision to go and kind of bring you all through our day here. Who wants to start us off with that?
Sam, go for it.
All right. I mean, I was the last bloomer here. So Johnny and Josh got tickets. I was like, kind of iffy on the price range.
This was like Josh and I purchased our tickets Saturday. And we kind of made the decision like Thursday, after I had gone on a solo trip to the Penn State game. It was one of those where it's like, we have to see Trenton DeMonte's senior night. Like, we just have to do it. So then Saturday we were having dinner with Sam and we talked to him, and then Sam, you can take it back.
Yeah. Going back to the Twitter spaces on Thursday, I've mentioned this like 5 times, but Robert ended it electrically. He was like, find a ticket. It's Trent Frazier senior day. You got to be there. And so like, I was kind of looking for a window, and then we're at dinner. I don't even have service. And Johnny is like, I think there are tickets for like $80, and I'm like, F it. Let's do it. I'm a little bit drunk. Obviously not even knowing, like no thought. I mean, really unlikely that we would be witnessing a Big Ten championship game. I thought it was just the senior day deal.
And yeah, and it was just like, okay, you get to watch Trent Frazier, DeMonte, Kofi Coburn one more time at home. Like, that's just hard to pass up. And Sam, who did we bring along with us as our fourth person?
We brought my girlfriend, who is an alumni of Iowa, and
she's not like the biggest fan. We can give her that. Like,
she learned who, she learned who Fran was. She learned what FranCon was. She heard the name Kirk Ferentz. I still don't think she knows who that is. Still insisted on wearing an IO sweatshirt, but was a trooper overall, I would say.
Yeah, we appreciated her at some point realizing that it would be a lot better trip for her if we won, so then everyone would be happy and talkative on the way home instead of just depressed.
It's like the guy version of happy wife, happy life. Like.
Yeah, exactly. That's an amazing point. So yeah, so we make the decision to go. We drive down at around noon Chicago time, and we get into it's about halftime in the Wisconsin-Nebraska game, and we're like, okay, we got to watch the second half. So we drive to Legends, and right when we get to Legends, it's just an absolute ref show for Wisconsin. And Josh is in there like, okay, I got to make a meme of like the Big Ten office calling in the refs to make sure it's fouls. And like, they were in the almost the double bonus by the under 16. They were officially in the bonus before the under 16. It was crazy.
It was like the worst nightmare of like, we have hope Nebraska got out to an early lead. They were up double digits at one point, I believe. Wisconsin comes back, and that second half, the way that that started, we're like, all right, we're here for Trent and DeMonte senior night. Like, that's all that this night is. Like, we're not going to win anything. Let's just finish our beers at Legends and head out to Maze, head out to wherever we're going to go eat after, because it wasn't going to happen. Few calls go our way, I would say, but it was good makeup calls in the Nebraska-Iowa game. And Legends was probably the – I was going to tweet something like this, but I don't think it was going to be that true. But it was the biggest congregation of Nebraska fans, I would say, east of the Mississippi River. I think that's a good way to say it. East of the Mississippi River, largest congregation of Nebraska fans, because there were some big Go Big Red chants. There was the we were doing defense for Nebraska every time they were on defense. And when they came back and took the lead, it was so loud in Legends for a Nebraska-Wisconsin game. It was a lot of fun to be at.
Yeah, it was incredible. And then Nebraska pulls it off, and immediately we're just like, wow, there is so much pressure on this game. It just kind of set in that, like, we're actually playing for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah, truly no game that I can think of that really comes close to, like, that level of pressure at State Farm Center. Like, obviously the Loyola game last year, but playing in front of your home crowd like that, really can't think of a game that comes that close where tickets, like, sell out right away, hours before the game.
Yeah. Yeah, this morning, I think someone was saying on our Twitter spaces, but I was monitoring just to see how much more I was going to be paying than what I could have paid if I just waited to buy tickets. But there was like around 100 tickets, I think, available on various websites and apps that were for $80 was to get in. And then when you go downstairs into the 100 level, it's probably in the 200s of more than $200, or if not way more. But after the Nebraska game, I think every single ticket was sold, and the amounts that people were paying just to get in the door, like $800 to get into the 200 level, I think I saw for one, pretty ridiculous amounts, just because, you know, the trophy's in the building. When the trophy's in the building, you know, it's a big game.
Yeah. And I mean, we were definitely like, once we kind of processed that, we were kind of lucky that we still had things on our agenda to do, because we went to Legends and we were like, we still kind of have to eat a dinner lunch sort of thing before the game. So we ended up going to Black Dog. Fortunately, a nice 20-minute wait, once again, just kind of killing our time to take our mind off of what was about to happen, which was just the most like pressure-filled 2 hours. Even when we were waiting for Black Dog for good luck, I put our reservation under Trent F, just keeping the good vibes, you know. I always do that during Wordle too. I'll do like a random guess and always try to have it be referencing Illinois. Like today, the first one was fight. And it's just always like something that we just need good karma, good vibes in there. And fortunately had dinner there. And then we go afterwards, still a little bit of time, so we go kind of walk on the quad, and I remember we walked by the alma mater, and I just remember reading the alma mater, which says like, to thy happy children of the future, those of the past send greetings, and saying to you guys, like, us from the past of just having brutal basketball luck, brutal sports luck, like, we're sending the children of the future, like, you guys are about to be happy with
you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we sacrifice for
we
you.
We suffer it so you could thrive.
Yep. And after our quick walk in the quad, we're like, all right, it's time. Gotta head over to the stadium. And that was a nerve-wracking car ride. Every light had to turn red. It's just like, we just want to get in the stadium and be there. But when we get in, the senior night celebrations, to be honest, the first one, I love when I say to be honest, because you're like, oh, are you not going to be honest with me right now? All right, so I'll just say my statement. I was going to cry. I was about to cry. Who was the first senior that came out?
It went Kofi first.
Yeah, it was
and
Kofi.
Then it went,
yeah, it went Kofi. Actually, I was going to cry with Kofi because I'm like, oh my God, this man has won us a lot of basketball games. And without him and without any of the next four guys, we're not playing for a Big Ten championship tonight. But it was very emotional. The cheers were that when the player's name got announced after like the description of all that they did in their Illini career, it was a very like chills were present all over the body type of moment. It was great seeing them get their jerseys, walking out with their families. Just what a start to the game, and it got the atmosphere of the stadium at a new level. It's something I've never heard. The only thing that I mean sort of compares was storming the court against Michigan State, but the game was never that loud. Like it was loud from before the senior celebration through the final whistle.
And just we got there and we were there maybe the
45
game
45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes. And it was like more crowded than I had ever seen it that far before tip off. Like when we were in Crush, we would go to games like 20 minutes before and still get really good seats. And now you see the entire Orange Crush is filled immediately. Like we talked to someone who had Crush tickets and waited 2 hours before and didn't even get on the floor. Like, obviously, Crush was packed, but even the 200 level upper deck, just so many people there. And by the time they did the ceremony at 6:10, 20 minutes before tip, it was crowded. It was amazing.
Yeah. I like during DeMonte's two things. One, they say he's known as like an all glue guy. The other thing, I don't know why I found this funny, but I just found it funny that they mentioned that like last game was the first time he's ever led the team in scoring. After like mentioning that he's played the most games in Illinois history.
Yeah. And the other thing that I think I just realized, I guess it was 100% going to be when 14 points is the most he scored in a game. But I turned to Johnny when DeMonte's announced he has more rebounds than points. It's ridiculous. He has like 500 points or something in his Illini career and 600 rebounds. That's so DeMonte. Like if you had to say one stat that describes him, that's him.
Yeah, and I mean, you think about his biggest play of that game tonight was that rebound, that offensive rebound. So, really fitting for him. And I thought something that was really cool too that Tim Sinclair mentioned was Trent Frazier most minutes played all time at Illinois. So it's cool that they kind of both have their own record, most minutes, most games played. Assuming both of those guys stay healthy, but that was just really cool. And I mean, it's hard because as Tim Sinclair's mentioning all of their accolades, you're like clapping and clapping, but you also want to hear what's going on, but you're also going crazy. It was just a really interesting experience, and definitely recommend to any fan to go to a senior night. It doesn't have to be some of the Illini legends like Trent and DeMonte, but just it's a really cool experience, and I'm so happy that those guys were able to be recognized, and then also to be able to recognize Grandison, Plummer, and Kofi. It was the perfect way to like be an intro to this game, because you're like, you're there on an emotional level, and you're also there in a level of like, holy shit, we might win a Big Ten title.
Yeah, and senior night is obviously a day where you're supposed to kind of reflect on like all like that a player did in their career. Like I remember Malcolm senior night was very special. He's like crying to the BTN reporter after the game. Like that will continuously put tears in my eyes like rewatching that video.
Yeah, when he kisses like, the block eye too.
Yeah, exactly. Those types that always happens on most senior nights. But like with today's game, with the stakes at play, I was just like, all right, let's get to the game. We will have our podcast. We'll have times where we will reflect. And there's still a lot to be written left in this story in this season. We'll have time to reflect later. But you know, it's time to win the first of hopefully many banners right now. So I was like, all right, I love the ceremony. It was great. But you know, let's start. Let's get the game going.
Yeah, and the game got going. And I mean, we started, started off like solid the first few minutes. And then, I don't know, it was a kind of a gross first 10 minutes. I think Iowa was up 13-10 at the under 12. And we're like, wow, who would have thought a defensive game? It's on pace to be like 40 points each. Like, what's going on? And then immediately that switch flip for Iowa, and that did not feel good.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. I actually really respect this, how quickly they made it a point to get the ball up the court. And they've got like the ball in Toussaint's hand with like 27 seconds on the shot clock, like ready to run their play. Like that caught us off guard. There were definitely a few baskets where we scored and then we're like, oh shit, like they're doing this thing and we've got like our matchups off. They had us in some mismatches, just like running back and forth. I did kind of respect the way they just like flipped the switch and changed the tone of the game because they're an offensive team, so they probably want to be playing that kind of game.
Yeah, their pace was really good. And what they did too was defensively, I don't know, it seemed like they kind of knew they couldn't necessarily like just man up and stop us. So they would just tweak things, whether it was playing zone or just putting guys in different spots where it was like, it made it challenging for us to score, and we were scoring late in the shot clock, and then they would immediately pass it down, score right back on us, and it was just like, wow, this is going to be an exhausting game because we're working so hard for points, and then they just seem to get it like first 5 seconds of the shot clock, and then it seems to be just really like a struggle for us. So a lot of credit for our guys for, I don't know, not like letting that get to them and just kind of staying poised throughout.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Sam.
I was going to say, I think Brad calls a timeout a little over 4 minutes left, right when we cut it to 10, I want to say, and then we kind of don't respond. I think Iowa had a three the next possession, and then we kind of cut it down at the half, which was huge. What were you going to say, Josh?
No, I was just going to go back to that 10-minute stretch where, like, Iowa's just expanding their lead to 15. They did move the ball down. They were, like, running a fast break out of a made basket, even if we had a made basket or out of a timeout. But they also, I think, made 10 straight shots. Like, they did go on a little bit of a heater there.
Yeah, they did. And, I mean, we took the lead. I think it was – we took the lead to make it, like, 18-17, and then they went on a – or – yeah, 18-17, and then they went on a 16-2 run, and just,
yeah.
I mean, this Illinois team has sometimes been susceptible to those runs, and then we find ourselves down ultimately 43-28, and we're all just at that point bargaining in the last few minutes, being like, if we can just cut it to, I mean, yeah, I literally said to you, Josh, if we can just cut it, you said if we can cut it to 8 by halftime, I was like, 43-37. Let's try to do that. And then fortunately, we go on the 9-0 run. Did we score right before the buzzer? Or did we? I don't even remember.
We get it down to 43-30. Yeah, 43-37 at half, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember if we scored right before the buzzer.
All right, wait. We're not gonna talk any crap about Brad on a day that he wins us a Big Ten regular season championship. But let's just call the lineup. Jimski, RJ, Luke, Coleman, and Curbelo. Interesting when you're after a 6-0 run. Like, we let up a 6-0 run, and then that's the lineup that's going to be in for the next minute. Yeah, and we'll just say it didn't work.
It was ambitious Brad, you know?
Yeah. And he's trying to show a lesson, give a lesson to DeMonte, Trent, who are not playing their A games, Plummer. And I think that was the time where it was Kofi. Like, where Kofi sits, like, for his 1 minute, and that was just interesting.
Yeah, and the time where Coleman threw one out of bounds, he, like, takes him out for a single possession, yells at him, and then puts him back in because he's like, yeah, they have Keegan Murray, so I'm going to need you back in and guarding this. But Brad's got to yell at him for 15 seconds, but, hey, it worked out.
What were you guys feeling at halftime after, like, pretty deflating run, then we kind of get back into it?
I mean, I think we were just like, thank God we had that run. So it's like a game. So it's competitive.
Right. Yeah. Without the run, obviously it's a totally different game. We could be talking about a different type of game. Might not even be talking if we lose. But like at halftime, I was like, all right, we brought it into a six-point game in college basketball. You can go on a 6-0 run pretty quick. And we took the lead before the you're like, let's take the lead before the under 16, and we were definitely in the lead by the under 16.
Yeah, we were. What were your thoughts at half, Sam?
I don't know. First off, I started, like, my stomach started hurting right before half. Yeah. I think it was a combination of, like, the barbecue and, like, the anxiety. But I was kind of like, I guess if we get it down to 6, I was just, like, sort of expecting to have, like, a really intense down the stretch end of the first half, and now we're like battling back just to stay in the game. So I was like, I think it's going to be a pretty defining start to the second half where like Iowa takes control quickly, or like we fight for a Big Ten championship.
Yeah. And then it was I would say the first 8 minutes were, I mean, the entire half was just weird, but we had a really solid stretch to start it. Then we went from, I remember we were winning at the under, or I don't know if we weren't winning at the under 16, but it was, we were down to with three Plummer free throws about to happen. So you assume that you're winning. So we're riding that high. And at that point, the crowd is going crazy. And it was, the atmosphere was unreal. We haven't really talked about the in-game atmosphere, but it was super loud. And at that point, everyone's going crazy. Then we take the lead 47-46, and then immediately Iowa responds, I think, with an 8-0 run. Mm-hmm. I think they went
up seven.
Yeah, they went 54-47. And once again, you're kind of just doing the bargaining. And fortunately, we kind of chip away at their lead before the next TV timeout. And I think maybe they were up two by that, by the end of that stretch. And once again, you feel at least confident that we're in this game, because when you're down seven after just taking the lead, was it like, oh, is this going to be like Purdue at Purdue where you fight for that halftime lead and then there went all of your energy and now they're just going to run away with this game. So it was very calming to put ourselves back in the game.
Yeah. Let's maybe talk about someone who has a lot of energy at times. And a couple things that occurred. So Curbelo obviously plays with a lot of emotion, a lot of flash, a lot of maybe carelessness at times, but without Andre Curbelo's effort and without what he did tonight, we aren't Big Ten champions. He could have cost us, I think he only had a couple turnovers, but he could have cost us a few possessions. But the only reason why we're in it is because he made the plays that he made. And Johnny and I are like getting annoyed with this group in the Illini fans in the 200 level who are just like, anytime he touches the ball, like at one point he was like booing, like the groans just are so audible from anyone in the 200 level. But this one specific guy is like yelling, screaming out of his mind, being like, Curbelo, get Curbelo out of the game. Like he is so not helping us right now. He's like calling for Plummer. And we're just after Curbelo, what was the play that Curbelo makes the like?
Was it the and one maybe?
It might've been the and one. And Johnny and I both turned around like, What bitch? Like yeah. he's like the reason why we're in this game. And it was interesting, but without Curbelo, like I've been saying, don't win the game.
Yeah, I mean we almost essentially got into a fight with another Illinois fan, which we're not trying to like fight Illinois fan. But we like it was one of those things, the ultimate like live by Andre Curbelo, die by Andre Curbelo. Like that huge three by RJ Melendez in at the end of the first half. Great pass from Curbelo where everyone thought he was dumping in the post. And there were other times, I think he started the game 1-for-4 shooting and just some not great shots, but he was also drawing fouls. And I mean, I think he ended up with 14.6 assists and the and ones, the just
the
some
fake
of the play.
And one.
Yeah, the fake and one. And I mean, some people were annoyed with him too on the play that he scored in the first half where he does the behind the back like flip in where it's just like a lot of people like the fundamentals a little bit more. But I mean, he and then in the second half, like there was a time where he misses like a long two and everyone's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then, oh, those people are pretty quiet when he hits the three and, once again, like kept feeding Kofi, led our team in assists, 14 points, and made all of his free throws. Those were huge.
Yes,
so,
that's so big. So big.
I mean, he definitely like left his mark on the game. He always leaves something maybe to be desired with him being a little reckless, but you gotta live with the turnovers so that he can play and break down an Iowa defense the way they did. Why was it so important today? Because Trenton had an uncharacteristic off night, and with your primary ball handler and Trent not having his best performance, you need someone to step up. And I mean, I remember saying to you, Josh, like this is one of those nights where it's just like so reminds me of, like, I trusted last year's team a little more than this one because we had Io, and like I just, under 8 minutes left, it was like, okay, yeah, we have Io, we're fine. This one, it was like, how are we going to do this? We need to like really work it hard to get the ball into Kofi, and when teams triple team him, it's difficult. But Andre did a great job distributing. I mean, he was the one who passed it to Plummer when he hit that big three. I think he assisted DeMonte's big three as well. So a lot of props to Andre, and we're not going to be ones to be upset with the performance of like Trent Frazier with an off night, because he was there on the defensive end. Bohannon had 0 points and still had 5 assists, still just stayed in the game. So many other guys, when they're having an off shooting night, it was just, I mean, it was just a crazy team performance. I know we kind of got sidetracked here, but
no. But there's one more stat that you didn't mention, and that's the I think it was 7 times he ended up on the ground underneath the hoop. So those are just some of the stats that he has during the game.
That's par for the course.
Yep. All right. So then the end of the game. I mean, do we want to just go straight to that last shot, or
Well, I mean, all the free throws were just so excruciating. The makeup call, the Kofi. I mean, it was just all absolute blur. And
yeah, it is sort of a blur. It was a lot of free throws where, like, the Kofi definitely fouled. I think it was probably Keegan shooting a three, and then they do the same exact call on maybe a couple of trips later. But yeah, let's just talk about how loud it was at that point. Like, it was by far the loudest I've ever heard any stadium ever for those 3 free throws.
I remember looking behind
six free throws.
I remember looking behind the student section and being like, this like sucks for him. And earlier in the game, Keegan Murray had made a free throw or two and Chris had missed a free throw. And I was like, I guess that's like the difference between him. Like, Keegan like can really, but it would like, it's just so hard to shoot with that noise. Like, you have 50-year-olds in the 12th row of section 211, like screaming, and you've got all this stuff. Like, it's, to your point, Josh, just a crazy, crazy environment.
Yeah, so hard to stay focused. And I mean, I also give so much credit for DeMonte for making that second free throw, because my confidence would have been shot, and they called timeout. And like, I don't know, if that were me up there, I would just be like, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss, don't miss. And DeMonte just calmly makes it. And I mean, all I'm saying to Josh in those, that build up with 11 seconds left, I'm just like, no threes, no fouls, no threes, no fouls. And of course, Chris Murray takes a three, and I mean, it looks decent coming off his hands. I mean, it's in, Kofi gave a pretty good like attempt at a block while also not fouling, but I mean, that thing was coming down in slow motion. I think for me, the only other slow motion sort of play like that was the Daniel Barker touchdown catch at Michigan State that we were all at. But
yeah, it's the play where you're like, okay, wait 1 second. I need confirmation bias that what just occurred.
Yeah. And you've got to watch the rebound and all that.
Yeah,
and make like sure there's no kick out.
The good thing happened to me. Okay, I can start smiling. All right, celebrate now.
Yeah.
It's like, it's all in slow motion where it hits both. It hits the, I think, the back part of like where he was shooting the three from. So it's like the side of the rim and the back of the rim, front of the rim, and then just a few more tips. And you're like, where's this ball going to end up? And then no better way than to have Trent Frazier run the ball down the court for us to win the Big Ten championship. It couldn't have gone any other way. I mean, DeMonte would have felt the same way, but Trent Frazier, both of them, he's put into this program, it was like cathartic, that's the right word.
Yeah.
Did I use that correctly?
Yeah, you did use it correctly. And what I loved too was seeing in the post game, they asked like Trent and DeMonte, they're like, yeah, we found each other right away. And like, we were the first person each other hugged. And that warms my heart to see those guys after all they've been through and we've been through with them to embrace each other in that moment. It was really special.
That was actually my first court storm ever at State Farm Center.
Did you run? So Sam, did you run straight down? We weren't sitting next to each other. We had two sets of two. So what you probably, I mean, do you even like the Skylar, like give you a hug?
I said, I Yeah, sort of. And then I was like, I mean, everyone jumped the gun. The students start running down to the court, getting ready to storm with a minute
left.
Yeah,
we did not appreciate that.
And as soon as that happens, our 5-point lead starts getting cut down. But they're storming the court, and I'm like kind of seeing that there's a path down, and I turned to her and I was like, should we do it? And she was like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny and I did like a few jumps and hugs, like jumping hugs with each other. We're like, this is insane. We're like, wow, it's actually getting pretty crowded down there. And then we start walking to go find you in your seat, cause we didn't know if you went down. You were with someone who was wearing Iowa clothing. And then we eventually find you on the court later. And I mean, there's just so many good experiences watching them lift the trophy, cut down the nets. There's so many just like feel good moments where you get chills just thinking about like who's in these situations where like you're just so happy to see, I mean, Dane Danger cut down a net.
Yeah, I mean, it really just all put into perspective for us. We had just such an abysmal run during our 4 years, and Josh and I stayed a fifth year, which was Iowa's freshman year. So Sam mentioned he had never stormed a court at State Farm Center together. It felt very full circle that Josh and I, we were in the Orange Crush storming the court at Michigan or against Michigan State. And that was really like to us the start of the Brad Underwood era, to say like, we actually have something here. And now to the only other time I really think that Illinois has stormed the court, we were there sitting together watching it and then eventually walk on the court for a Big Ten championship was just, I mean, you can't even put words into how special that is. And it's crazy. We had no tournaments. We went 26-46 during our 4 years and they just went 31-9 the last two. It's just, it's so great to see the pride that students have that quite frankly wasn't there when we were there. And it's incredible.
Yeah. At the end of the game, when everyone was on the court, Brad takes the mic and he goes, "Hey, hey, hey, I need everyone to be quiet for a second." And the place goes dead silent. And he's like, "We did this because we've got a bunch of high character guys." And he's like surrounded by Kofi, Trent and all those guys, which was just an awesome, like, you build this culture moment.
Yeah, and yeah. I mean, yeah, it's been a lot of losing 16 or 17 years since we'd won a Big Ten championship. And yeah, appreciating the fans that stuck with us and appreciating the guys who lost quite a bit in the early stretch. And it was cool for us to like, we ran into a decent amount of people who like graduated in the same year or two as us, because once again, like, we just didn't have this opportunity, and it was special to see, like, I don't know, everyone just jump at the chance. And maybe a lot of people were like us and didn't even think we were going to win the Big Ten tonight. It was just, we got to appreciate these dudes who have just been in our lives for so long.
So on the court, we're just talking with different people that are walking by. You like, you give a big cheer when Brad walks by. You see the Pods family all gather. We saw Coleman take probably hundreds of pictures. There's one moment that sticks out, I think, more for all three of us than any other moment, and that's when we run into Whitman. When we run into Whitman, we say hello, congrats, you did this. And I was just like, just to Johnny and Sam, I didn't have the balls to say this to Whitman because I'm not that type of person, but Johnny is. And so Johnny quotes, I quote initially saying like, if we're not careful, and I just recall the speech that he gave after Gross was fired, being like, if we're not careful,
quote was, I was here in 2005 and it was really special. And if we're not careful, that was 10 years ago. And if we're not careful, it'll be 30 years ago. So Josh says that to Sam and I, and we immediately recall on him making that speech. So as Whitman is walking away from us after we embrace, I just say, and if we're not careful, and then he kind of like hears it, processes it, and then like turns around and is like laughing and is just like, Wow.
Yeah, it was a smile. Yeah. The way I described it is it's like a smile and then the most approving nod that you'll ever get from someone. He was just like, this guy knows what's up. It's like different than every other type of like congratulations, like you did this type of thing that we did say like maybe a minute before to him. But this was one that he probably like, I'm just gonna say it. I think he'll remember it. He'll remember that one.
Yeah, I think he will. And I mean, it was weird looking at him because I don't know. We credit so much of the success of the program to turning around to Underwood, to Trent, to Io, but you got to give like him so much credit for being the one to like stealthily hire Brad Underwood. Like other ADs might not have like had the savviness and the ambition to go hire another Power Five coach, and Josh had a vision and has really financially backed this team up time after time. So he deserves a lot of credit, even though he probably won't be given it because there's so many other people who are deserving of credit, and it's very tangible to see their results on the court.
And when we said to him, "You did it," he responded, "We did it," which is a very Josh Whitman selfless thing to say.
Yeah. There was a couple moments that I was like, I need to see this happen. And so what we obviously didn't see at the start, though, was the initial Brad and Whitman embrace. But the ones that I did catch my eye for was Whitman seeing his wife on the floor, like right before we said hello to him. They give each other a big hug, and Josh hands his wife like two pieces of the net, and it's obviously for both of their kids. So that was just a very heartwarming experience. I wanted to throw that one in there, as well as Underwood and his seeing his two daughters, and maybe just one of his daughters was there tonight, and his wife. That was a big embrace that he gave to them while he's giving his radio show. So those were two like just highlight moments on the floor tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I remember running into Chester Frazier too, and just saying to him, like, dude, you came in second in the Big Ten your freshman year, your sophomore year you came in fourth in the Big Ten, your senior year you came in third in the Big Ten. Like, how great does this feel? And he's just like, it's incredible, man. Like, thank you. I can't even believe it. So many special stories. I'm trying to think, did we leave anything out? Obviously, we ran and embraced Robert as soon as we could, and that was awesome. He was on another level. I mean, we were all just kind of really out of it and not thinking 100% straight or clearly because we were in disbelief.
Yeah, I can't think of any other memorable ones. I did want to recall like when they cut down the second net for like the managers coaches that didn't get it. What I did notice, and this is another Whitman thing, and I think it just shows the type of character guy, high character guy he is he made sure to watch every single manager, student manager, grad assistant cut down that net and celebrate that moment with them. That was very cool of him to do, and seeing that just, I mean, There's you could say all the words that you want, and he's a very good talker, but there are so many actions that back up his words, and that one proves it more than many.
Yeah, that was cool to see. Like, we actually got to see what a behind the scenes moment with Josh Whitman is, and that was he, like, no one's really paying attention to him, but he's just there with the guys who are really behind the scenes and devote a lot of time into this program.
And then the last part that I just want to quickly touch on is going through after a game, you're not really checking Twitter when you're at it. Is that when you do that first refresh of seeing all like the celebrations, the ones though that aren't the best are seeing like someone who might have transferred out of the program tweeting Big Ten champs, like, Alan, you know, you left us. I know you're friends and boys with the guys, but I don't know if you should be
that was just like odd. Don't even know how to describe that. But I would say there were a couple other things I wanted to touch on too, which was crazy recruiting day. Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, wow. You just perfect. You couldn't script it any better. And the hilarious quote from Brad Underwood was like, if they didn't enjoy that, then like go to some other school and we're gonna kick your ass. Because I just love the confidence from him that like we're a force to be reckoned with, but also knowing like those kids obviously enjoyed the heck out of that, seeing that atmosphere, seeing a team cut down the nets. And I mean, they were talking about how you could just see the confidence and the poise from the Illinois players. I mean, we were down 15 and 1 today. It's pretty crazy.
There's one recruit. What was his name? Spencer.
Oh, the guy who looked just like Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked like Coleman's younger brother, and they were taking pictures together. It was so cute. And which, by the way, I do want to shout out Coleman Hawkins.
Yes.
9 points, 11 rebounds, and made 60% of his shots, including a three. Didn't miss it. Went 2 for 2 from the line. Like, he's had such a difficult season, and I can't imagine when you're 20 years old and you started the season off on such an incredible note, and you're seeing yourself and, oh, this guy might even be an NBA draft boards, all this stuff. He's got great length, versatility, shooting touch, and then eventually just becomes relegated to a bench warmer. And I mean, I talked about the quote before where he said, like, Brad and I sat down and said, like, I'm not a quitter. I'm going back in the gym and working hard. And he's been huge for us the past couple of weeks. And with Grandison being out, that was a huge loss. And Coleman played 37 minutes tonight, and we needed all of it because the Murray brothers are so long. And he was really our only answer for them. I mean, like, Keegan, he scored 22 points, but he went 7 for 22. And I would say,
that's crazy.
For the most part, it was Coleman guarding him, and then we would put Kofi on Chris or Rebracha. So, I mean, just, like, maybe it was an off-shooting night, or it was, like, Coleman Hawkins might be the best person in the conference to guard Keegan Murray because no one really matches that length. And he just did a fantastic job. So really proud of him. And obviously, Kofi, 21 and 14, just a monster.
Going back to Coleman, something off the camera after the game. I mean, I think every single player did this, but we just had the direct like view of Coleman. But he took every single picture that he possibly could. And that's just like, I mean, it just showed what kind of guy he is. I would assume every single player did, but he was like, yep, taking the picture. Yep, taking the picture. And wait, the one thing I did want to mention about that one recruit, Spencer Elliott, he's a 2023 kid. If I had to put I have no insider information, just watching his like body language after the game, waiting for the picture for Coleman. Like, he waited probably in a 15 person line for a picture with Coleman Hawkins to like dab him up and take a picture. I have just a feeling that he might like the orange and blue, and today was a good experience for him.
Yeah. And it was funny because I had just read about him, I don't know, a couple days before, and seeing him, I'm like, oh, he kind of looks like Coleman. That would be so funny if they played together. And then it was hilarious just seeing them take a photo together. I hope he posts it, the recruit.
I have the photo.
Oh, you have the photo. Okay, good. Because it's awesome.
Yeah, Coleman did it. Every picture with a smile, which is pretty awesome to see. High character guys, like Brad said.
Yeah. Anything else on a night like tonight? There's just, we'll probably talk before the Big Ten tournament. We'll get a podcast to see how.
Oh, we did talk. We did talk to Dion too, and said we would do a podcast with him. So
yeah, let's get Dion on the pod. But he was excited to see us.
But I mean, right now it's 1:11. So I don't know about you guys. I'm probably gonna turn on, watch the highlights. Matthew loves ball. Like, we literally just got home and then pretty started to record the podcast. So a lot of highlights left to be watched, a lot of like actual basketball analysis to happen and like process the fact that we did beat Iowa. And like, I was thinking about it, that's actually like a very solid win. They had just won 8 of 9 and were beating everyone by double digits. So even though Iowa goes 10 for 22 from the free throw line and kind of beat themselves, like, it's an impressive win. And we're bordering that 3 line, and still a lot of basketball left to be played.
Yep.
The Big Ten tournament will matter for us. It will matter for our seeding.
Yeah, it will. Yeah, I mean, I feel like you want to play yourself into that championship game and maybe just not play that championship game in overtime so everyone's well-rested for the tournament run.
The next weekend.
Which they did say a couple times. We want a few more banners and 9 more games, and like, this isn't it, which was nice. everyone talks about the Big Ten tournament last year, whatever, but it was nice that it seems like everyone knows the goal is Final Four. And that being said, I was like thinking to myself, I'm just so happy we won a Big Ten title, and like the rest of it in some ways is all gravy. We can focus winning later. Like,
someone made a good point on our Twitter spaces that we were listening to on the car ride home that Robert was doing with the field pass. And like, I do think this is true, is like, if they didn't win the Big Ten regular season, if they didn't win the Big Ten conference tournament, like there's so much weight on for this team to have something. And now they have something. Now we're playing with house money here. Let's see how many more banners that we can get.
Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to end it.
All right, well, we'll talk to you on the next episode. ILL.
INI.